now the kids go to the children's church, right? Okay, they can go to the children's church. They're going to have a great time. Don't let the kids miss out this week on what's going to happen. They're going to have a fabulous time. And I'll tell you, I got a boat up here in the sail, and this is a real boat. This is not a mock-up. I mean, this is the real deal up here. And I told him, I think that Pelican probably should be dark brown. But, you know. In fact, any little kid growing up today, his first picture of a Pelican is probably there, are all brown. We need to pray for those folk. By the way, I think this is a day of prayer. If there's four southern states down there, in that coastal area of Louisiana and Florida, those states down there. And really, we need to pray that God somehow helps them to get a handle on this thing. It's affected the welfare of many folks in that part of the country. We haven't experienced anything like this from this current crisis, and we thank God for that. Today I thought that since the emphasis is on children, it will be this week, it'd be good for us just to take a look at two passages that deal with children. There are several verses, by the way, in Scripture that talk about children in one way or another. There are some that are more well known than others, and I'm going to just read from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 18 and then in chapter 19. These are two passages. And it's interesting because what we have in the Gospels, really they're teachings, discourses of our Lord. Oftentimes the scenario is that as he traveled, he would be teaching and then different groups would come up to him and would question him. You've heard about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and others. They would come and they would question him, oftentimes to try to trick him and try to trip him up and see if he could say something that would be profoundly wrong doctrinally, so that he could be charged with heresy. And so that was kind of going, it was always an element in his teaching. He was always in the crowd, those who wanted to follow him and they were going to embrace what he had to say. And then he had the antagonists that were present. And so many of the teachings we get really were from the antagonists, those that were really trying to trick him. And they would ask these questions, ask certain things of him. And then there were occasions when his disciples would get involved in certain things, and then he'd have to correct them. And so we have this first passage in Matthew 18. Now I'm going to speak on children and the kingdom of God, children and the kingdom of God this morning. In Matthew 18, the very first verse, I'm just going to read up through verse 6. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself, set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea." The other passage I'm going to make reference to this morning is found in Matthew 19 and three verses there, beginning with verse 13. Matthew 19:13. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And after laying his hands on them, he departed from there. Children and the kingdom of God. The question that is addressed in one of these passages, the first that I read for you, had to do with who is the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom, Lord? That was an adult concern. The idea of a kingdom carried with it the possibility that The kingdom would have certain positions of prominence in it. That's an adult way of thinking. When people have the possibility of joining an organization or joining a movement, there are positions of leadership there, and that was on the minds of some of the followers of Christ. You're going to have a kingdom. Well, the next question is, how can I gain a position of prominence in that kingdom? And Jesus, interestingly enough, in this passage, uses the weakest, most vulnerable of society to give us an idea of who will be favored and blessed of God in his heavenly kingdom. Isn't that interesting? That he would turn to a child, the children, to illustrate this important point with respect to who was going to be the greatest. Now, some of you may have thought why he did that, and there have been all kinds of speculations and teachings on exactly what Jesus was trying to illustrate, certain traits of children, the demeanor of children, etc. But in Matthew 18:3, when he said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." One thing that is interesting about children, they can be stubborn and they can be self-willed, but you don't often see a lot of pride necessarily. You might see the tendency to, you know, want to take care of themselves or whatever, and they're aspiring, etc. Pride is something that develops oftentimes as you go on in life, and as you sometimes have accomplishments in life, you develop an attitude of pride. You don't see that element quite as often in especially young children. And here, this seemed to be a problem, evidently. Notice, unless you're converted, become like children, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. What keeps some people out of the kingdom of God? For some, it's because they feel like they can do everything on their own. And some will even say, "I don't need God." Some will see God as some human made-up concept. It's like a crutch that people have to have. How often have you heard them say, "Well, you just need a crutch, and so you use God as your crutch"? That's the way they view it. What would cause one to say that? It's pride. Human pride leads one to that conclusion. So you might rightly see in this passage that God is speaking to that very basic instinct in some folk, and that of that trait, that characteristic of pride that sometimes develops and acts really as a barrier to keep us from our Heavenly Father. What does Jesus mean by saying we must become like children? We are to be childlike in the sense that we must have simple faith and trust in our Heavenly Father. Simple faith and trust. Humility is defined as a lack of pride. It's modesty or submission, the willingness to submit. And those characteristics lead one to greatness in God's kingdom. It's always been an amazing, fascinating thing for some to wonder that through humility, one then is given an important position in God's kingdom. We are focusing on ministry to children this week, and I know there are some places where they have not emphasized the importance of ministry to children. In fact, you know, there are some churches that do not have a Sunday school. At best, they may have a children's church, but they don't have a Sunday school. And children's church is okay, but Sunday school has a special place in church education, because we recognize that children develop differently at different ages, and we have lesson plans that are tailored for the child at that particular age. Sometimes when you get kids all together in children's church and you're dealing with all different ages, you don't really have that luxury. You have a lesson plan, and then you present something, and they're going to receive that, whatever it is, in their own way, depending on where they fall within what age group. And especially for little children, you present things in a certain way to very young children, a little bit differently than perhaps you might present them to older children. And so the Sunday school program is a great program, because We have professionals who have taken scriptural truth and they have diligently developed lesson plans so that we can present them to children at different ages to help them understand about the things of God, the concepts of God, and the life that we can have in Jesus Christ and what it means to be a Christian. And it's a good thing to plug into that. It's a good thing for us to have a program like that so that our children can come to an early understanding of God and His ways. Is ministry to children important? As I said, there are a number of churches that don't have Sunday school as we have it here. And at best, they may have a children's church. Jesus said, whoever receives one such child in my name, listen to this, receives me. People oftentimes focus on this passage where it says, when they bring the children to Christ, when they're rebuking the parents there, and we focus on that verse of Scripture that says, let the children alone, do not hinder them from coming to me. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. We focus on that verse of Scripture when we talk about children coming to Christ in chapter 19. But I want us to focus on what he said, similar things in chapter 18 about children. Because in chapter 18, he makes this statement, and when I read it, I thought about that, and I thought, how many of us stop and ponder the importance of ministry to children? A lot of people don't think it's important, as I mentioned, and I want to illustrate the importance or emphasize the importance to children. In Matthew 18, when he says, whoever receives one such child in my name, and then these two words, receives me. When I read it recently, all of a sudden, I hadn't seen that quite in the same way, and it kind of jumped off the page. Whoever receives one such child in my name, he's talking about the importance of children, and receiving children, receives me. Receives who? Receives Jesus. It's like you're entertaining me. Think about it just a moment, how important it is. If you were to know that you were to have an audience with the Lord, how would it affect your demeanor? You know, the way you act, your behavior. If you were to have an audience, say, by the way, I've arranged something. It's a big deal. The Lord's coming today, and you're going to have an audience with the Lord. How would that affect your demeanor, the way you would act? This past week, my wife and I had an interesting time. We were invited to a special pastor's conference, and at this meeting, there were some dignitaries, I mean, highly profile people. If I mentioned their names, some of you would know who they were, that were at this meeting, and we were able to talk with them and everything, and it was interesting. And you find people when they're around people of prominence, they act a certain way. You know, they want to make sure their decorum is just right, and they're very polite. It's funny to see how, you know, when we're talking with each other, we're just kind of joshing and stuff. That's one thing, but when you have a celebrity or someone there, all of a sudden it's straighten your tie, and you know, you kind of get your act together. And it kind of illustrates what I'm getting at here. It's there's something about knowing that you're having an audience with the Lord, a special time together. And Jesus said it this way, and he personalized it. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Me. For some, they would think that a week dedicated to trying to reach children is a waste of time. Jesus said, not so. If you receive a child in my name, in other words, you're doing it for the cause of Christ, you're doing it for the sake of the kingdom, you're doing it because you want children to have an understanding of God and who He is. You want children to come to understand the love of Christ. You want children to come to know that there's a God in heaven who loves them and cares for them. If you do it for me, It's like you're receiving me when you receive that child. This week, we're going to have an audience with Jesus. And there are going to be scores of children that are going to be in this place, and many of them perhaps have heard little about the love of God in the way that it's going to be presented this week. Is it important? You better believe it's important. Some would say, well, you know, I'm too busy, I don't have time. When really they do have time, they just don't want to have anything to do with children's ministries. They don't think it's their thing. I've had people tell me that. Well, Pastor, you know, it's not my thing. I wish a pastor could say that sometimes. You know, we can't say that. We can't say, well, it's not my thing. What do you mean? What do you mean it's not your thing? Prayer, Bible study, visitation, oh, different things that we do, go to the hospital. It's not my thing. I find a lot of things I can say is not my thing, but you do it because it's right, and you do it because you have an audience with the Lord in many cases when you're ministering like that. And this week, we're going to have an audience with Jesus. And so, I think that whenever we have an outreach like this, and I can say that over the past few years, we've had a wonderful turnout of volunteers, people who give sacrificially, some who will make arrangements at work and different things and will delay their vacations or do different things so that they can be a part of this. This is very important. Do you know, it may not be important in some people's schedule, but I have a feeling that in God's schedule, that it's a very important date that we have coming up beginning tonight. This is real important in the schedule of God. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. That's great. Just think of it. If you work with children, don't ever think that in some way your responsibility or your work for the Lord is diminished because you work with children. If anything, it's elevated. You know, it's elevated. We are in the presence of Christ when we minister to children, and we are responsible to God for the care and spiritual nurturing of the children He has given us. That's why we do things like this. You say, why do you knock yourselves out? And you know, it's a lot of work. Look around you. This just didn't happen overnight. You know, somebody just didn't wave a magic wand and woo, oh, look what we got. That didn't happen that way. It took hard work. And I'm so thankful that we have dedicated people that have talents. And a lot of the artwork, that was done by our own folks, hand-drawn, and they did all this. And I mean, when you look at it, it looks professional. It looks like we hired a bunch of professionals, and they did as good or better than what you could have done if you hired out. And this was done by our people, and they put this together, and they arranged all this, and they've got a program that's going to be great for the kids. And we're doing it because we're investing in things that matter. Children matter to God. And He said, if you want to get into heaven, you need to become like a child. You say, well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean you're to be childish. You're to be childlike. You know, when you talk about children, they have trust and faith. And what they're being told when they're young, and their little minds, they just grasp things. They're like a sponge oftentimes, and they're grabbing new ideas and things. And it's a great time to share with them the love of God. Several years ago, they did a research back in, I think it was 2007. They researched 1,500 parents and children aged 8 to 12. So these are the older children, 8 to 12 children. It was carried out by some publishers. They were going to produce a guide for children. And it showed what children are asking their parents about God. You know, the origin of God, life after death, the creation of the universe. I guess there was this fascination, wondering just How curious are our children about the concept of God and spiritual things? And so they did this survey, surveyed, like I said, 1,500 parents and children aged 8 to 12. And these are the 20 questions that they said were unanswerable. The parents came back and said, these are the questions we got. And there were 20, these are 20 questions that parents said were unanswerable. So you wonder, well, what does a child think about and what do they wonder about and what is the importance of guiding them in those early years? Let me just share these with you. The first is, does God exist? The second is, has God got a beard? You laugh, but do you really know? The third, is there life after death? The fourth, if God made us, who made God? These are children asking these questions. The fifth, what does God look like? The sixth, why is the world here? Number seven, who created God? Number eight, why are people bad to each other? Nine, why are we here? Am I real or is this just a dream? 10, if God is everywhere, why do we have to go to church to see him? Number 11, why can't we ring God up? Number 12, why does Easter change its dates each year? These are little kids that are perceptive. They're picking up on these things. Number 13, why is God all around us? 14, why is there a world? 15, why is there so much war in the world? 16, why do we have wars? 17, why do I believe in one God while my Hindu friend believes in lots? And is my God the same as my Jewish friends? 18, do you know why Jesus wept? 19, who made the universe? And number 20, does God have a mom? Questions that kids have. Some of them, you know, you might think, oh, that's cute, funny, but, you know, some of them are rather perceptive, and they want to know. And I believe that with these little minds, when you begin to show them the love of Christ, it creates a hunger for more. They begin to put the dots together, you know. It's like that puzzle where you have all the dots and you start to connect the dots. But what happens after a while? You just don't want to leave until you get them all connected. And it's kind of that way with children. And when they begin to understand truth and God's truth, they get some of the dots connected. And then they want to see where else it goes to. Where else will this lead me? And another question comes up. And we have that golden opportunity to help frame out the whole idea of who God is and what life is about. And though maybe these parents didn't have the answers, we know the answer to a lot of these questions, and they're found in the Word of God, and we're able to bring children into an understanding of who God is and what he wants of them. I believe that this passage illustrates in Matthew 18 that we are to remove whatever obstacles that are there, especially allowing the children to come to Christ. Remove those obstacles that hinder children from coming to Christ. That's part of our responsibility. Whatever obstacle is there, remove that obstacle so that children can come to the Lord. Jesus said, let the children alone, do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Well, I don't know how important it is to you. I don't know if you've ever thought about being involved in ministry to children in any way. Maybe God hasn't called you to that, and that's okay. Some people are called specifically to that ministry, but I think we all should have an interest at least, and we all should see the importance of helping these little lives come to the knowledge of Jesus. God has a tender heart towards children. And even in the scriptures I read for you, there is a warning for those who would harm these little ones who trust in Him. Those little children that have put their faith in God. Then for someone to harm those children. God has a special place for that person who does things that would harm them. It's a reminder that God takes seriously the importance of children and wants us also to be serious about ministry to them. Children and the kingdom of God. You may or may not have a child that's going to be in the VBS this year, but whether or not you do, I trust that you will have a tender spot in your heart for ministering to these children. And if God gives you the opportunity to have an audience with Him this week, I trust you'll take Him up on it. Bow your hearts in prayer. Lord, sometimes we relegate certain kinds of ministries to being not as important as others, but when it comes to children, we come to understand what you truly value. In fact, you've even used the simple faith of a child as an example of what you want for your children. You want us to keep open hearts and to be people of compassion. And Lord, you want us to be people that are concerned about the spiritual welfare of children. And I pray, oh God, that in the busyness of our lives, we will not turn away from opportunities that may be afforded us to be involved in helping to develop a young child's heart and spiritual journey. But God, that we will readily accept and we will respond and realize that we're helping to shape the destiny of a child. Perhaps our influence will be what leads them to the cross, helps them to understand how much you love them. The way we relate to children tells them a lot about our Heavenly Father. They can see your love in us if we treat them the way you want us to, and if we act in the name of Christ the way we should. For one who receives a child, in essence, receives you, Lord. We have a special audience with you in our ministry to children. And I pray, O God, that we will understand this, take it to heart, and may it help us, may it motivate us to do our very best, Lord, this week as we minister to the children of this community. May your blessing be upon our efforts for the glory of your kingdom, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes when I see all that they've prepared, it makes me wish I were back where those kids are. That's only lasts for a short time, by the way, but I'm glad to be where I am in life. But, you know, you'll kind of see all the exciting things that are prepared, and some of the fondest memories I have in my growing up years have to do with going to kids' camp, youth camp, and being in children's church, and going to VBS, and experiencing all the fun and exciting things that happen in that time of training and teaching. And so I'm really looking forward to this week. And, you know, maybe you can't be here. I think it'd be great if you can plug in, maybe just to observe, just drop by. You don't have to stay for the whole session. But we have people who come. We have parents who come and stop by, and they're fascinated by all that's going on. And then our final rally on Thursday night, it's a really big deal around here. I mean, there'll be kids and parents and grandparents all around the grounds here, and they'll have all kinds of activities going on. Pray for good weather. We're already praying for good weather, you know, and I think it's going to be okay. It looks that way. We're praying for that. And it starts tonight at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a wonderful time. It'll be an adventure for the children. let's try to get as many kids involved in it as we can. One of the things that happens almost every year is when I hear of somebody who didn't hear or for whatever reason didn't know we were having it, somehow they didn't get the word and they missed out, their kid missed out on VBS. I feel bad because then it's another year before we do it again. So let's not let that happen. Let's get the word out and let's encourage our friends and neighbors. Let them know we got a VBS. It's free. We don't charge anything. Just bring them a lot of free food and games and fun and prizes and all kinds of things going on. Every night up through Thursday, starting tonight, Sunday night through Thursday, this week, at our VBS for kids. Praise the Lord. Amen. At least we can pray for VBS. That's the least we can do. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Would you stand with me and we prepare to dismiss this morning? And again, I've mentioned it many times, kids need you to bring them. So don't allow the circumstances of the moment to keep you from getting the kids together, getting them in the car, and bringing them to VBS, okay? And that you say, how does the enemy sometimes work? This is what he does oftentimes. Oftentimes what he does is he somehow tries to disrupt the lives of the parents and the caregivers so that they can't bring the kids. That's what it. He doesn't necessarily, you know, try to make the kids miserable or sick or any of that. What he tries to do oftentimes is he tries to get to the parents because they're the ones who bring the children. So don't let that happen. If something happens and you just can't make it one night, call a friend, call someone from the church and see if we can get transportation for your child, okay? Do that. It's real important. This will be a wonderful week for your child. Don't cheat them on what's going to happen this week. They're going to have a great time. And you know, many of these children just might make a commitment to God that will last them a lifetime. I believe that. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in our lives. And now we offer to you our efforts of this week. And you know the hearts of your people. We love our children here. We know that you love children. We want to minister to them. And there are going to be some that will come that don't know you as Savior. They're in families where you're not honored. And God, we pray for them. We pray for them even before they come. And we ask, dear God, that you will prepare the way so that these children will come to know the love of Christ our Savior. I pray now that your blessing be upon all of us. As we prepare to leave this place, may we go with your divine blessing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. God bless you and have a great Lord's Day.
On my own, now that I am seen.